Serious hockey fans, I am Mike from the comforts of my home at the X75 production studio in Maryland, and my co-host Ethan is currently live from Castle Point Anime Convention in New Jersey.
New Jersey.
I mean the Devils ain't in the playoffs, so we could get away with making fun of them.
No, it's just the fake accent that no one ever says.
Okay, you do realize that I was born in New Jersey.
Oh, I'm well aware. You have told me numerous times, and the only people that say New Jersey are people in Brooklyn.
Or people probably from South Jersey. I mean, I was born in South Jersey, after all.
Maybe.
Yeah. Or we just do it to make fun of ourselves. You ever think of that?
I guess. I don't know.
But anyway,
I got that in Toronto once.
Yeah. So anyways, last week, Ethan, thanks for being a good sport about last weekend. Obviously, Ted Starkey and I went on for like a good hour and 18 minutes.
It's important to hear from Starkey.
Oh,
it's
it important. Is. We got so much great information from him. And we talked history of like old Home Team Sports, which was a channel down here in the DC metropolitan area, you know, and there a lot of people really don't realize this, but it wasn't probably until like the 2010s, maybe like around that time, was when teams that outside of like the Rangers and the Islanders, the Devils, you know, because of MSG, or the Bruins because of Nesson, you know, not every team had every single game put on television,
right?
So a lot of good history talk, a lot of good talk about like the Islanders. We really, really dissected the Islanders last week, and we talked Caps as well. Little Rangers, but given how Starkey is based on the Long Island area, Islanders did take a little bit more precedent than the Rangers did on that. But there is a massive mutual agreement, like myself, Starkey, and others, that the trade deadline pickups of the Rangers have been perfect for the Rangers.
Like, absolutely.
We're not going to talk about this past week in the NHL because, quite frankly,
snooze.
I mean, outside of the West, where teams were still picking up spots during the week, the East was set by the time, you know, we got into this week, and it was really just about where teams were going to place. And then there had been talk, and we discussed this, you know, last week with Starkey, you know, teams were probably going to tank the week anyways, because, you know, like, do the Penguins really want to face the Rangers? Do the Caps really want to face the Rangers? Do either of those two teams rather go into the Atlantic Division and play Florida and potentially a Toronto or a Tampa Bay? You know, so it's like there was just this whole big, you know, thing about that. And well, the Caps tanked the week. They lost all four games. I was at two of them. I was at the game against Toronto and the game against the Islanders, which ironically, the game against Toronto was Fan Appreciation Day, and it was probably one of the worst Fan Appreciation Days that the Capitals have ever done.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even do jerseys off the back. Like that's a staple thing for like almost every team. The New Jersey's off the back and the Caps didn't even do it. And I'm like,
well, they picked a day that most times the teams, this is their we're gonna rest our starters or we're gonna play them very sparingly in order to ensure that they're
That game was not that game.
Really?
Yes.
I thought that was the whole week.
That was the game that Ovi got hurt in on Sunday against Toronto. That was the fan appreciation game. And then the game against the Islanders on Tuesday night was Ovi appreciation because they did a whole thing celebrating the season that he had for all the milestones that he created and all the people he surpassed, you know, to get into third place all time in the goal scoring, you know.
Until Jaromir Jagr comes back.
Until Jaromir Jagr decides to come back. Like, it was actually great. So I will say this. I actually filmed, you know, from my seat, the entire, like, Ovi appreciation video that they showed in the arena. And they showed the Jagr video when Ovi passed Jagr. And it was just like seeing Jagr goes like, don't forget. I could come back for you.
Are you kidding me? He is going to come back. It's a given. He's Jaromir Jagr.
Yeah, but he ain't going to score at the NHL level like he used to.
Sign him just for S and G's.
I mean, yeah. And then they're going to like waive and terminate his contract like a month in, which is essentially
I think they're going to just have him score enough goals that he passes Ovi and then... Yeah. And then let him then terminate his contract a month in.
That ain't gonna happen. But anyways, but yeah, so it was like you could tell in a way, even with the full lineup, like they weren't really trying too hard against Toronto. And then when Ovi got hurt, you know, they decided to not play him the last three games of the season. And the only player who really did not play outside of Ovi was Nicholas Backstrom, and that was on Friday night against the Rangers. Like, that was the only other player who technically got rested. Like, outside of that, like, you could tell, you know, with all the games, you know, the Leafs, the two against the Islanders, and even the game against the Rangers, the Caps weren't even really trying. And even with the game against the Rangers, I don't even think the Rangers were really trying against the Caps.
They weren't.
Because they weren't. Like, we're not going to try to get our guys hurt.
Look who scored. I mean, it was primarily just the bottom six. We were just primarily playing the bottom six. The top six was barely playing at all during that game. I mean, Ryan Reeves scored.
Yeah. And he still had to make an effort to make that happen.
Well, don't forget, you're about to say the name Tom Wilson, aren't you?
No.
Really?
Because I was going to say that if it was an actual meaningful game, Reeves probably would have been in the press box, especially with all those trade deadline pickups.
Whatever, man.
I'm telling you, Gallant knows Reeves, and he knows when to play him and when not to play him.
Yeah, of course he
does. Don't be surprised if he spends a lot of time in the press box during the playoffs. Unless he needs to send an actual message, if he sees that guys are getting run at, like legitimately against Pittsburgh, that would probably be the only time you probably see Reeves play it, just to try to play like have him play that calm down presence. You know, if you're going to,
I don't think Pittsburgh is that kind of team. I don't think Pittsburgh
actually,
they
are that kind of team. They are that kind of team. They've always been that kind of team. Like Pittsburgh is notorious. And like Pittsburgh has always been notorious, especially when in the lead up leading into the playoffs. If they are playing against the team that they know that they're going to have to face in the playoffs, they are going to purposely try to injure players on purpose.
But now it's the playoffs. So they're not, I don't think they've actually, you know, been that team in the playoffs though.
Well, let's see. Well, I remember they injured like guys on, like, this was a few years ago when they played like the Flyers and stuff and the Caps. Like they knew
well, the
like,
Flyers is a whole different ball game when it comes.
No, hold on, let me finish. But they're saying is that like a few years ago, like they injured like in a regular season game, and it was like the week before the playoffs, and they knew they were playing Philadelphia because that was one of the locked in matchups. Like instantly, like, oh look, we just injured, you know, their top defenseman. We just injured one of their key forwards. You know, it's like that's what they do because they try to like hurt the guys before they can even get to them. Like I mean, let's be honest, the Penguins, you know, they didn't want the Rangers in the first round. They're getting the Rangers first round.
They did not.
And they're getting the Rangers in the first round. So it's like, well, how do we contain a guy like Kreider? How do we contain, you know, some of these other guys on the Rangers? Key thing, hurt them. That's the Penguin way. It's always been the Penguin way.
I figured that was more of a Boston thing.
Nah, I've never see like that. And here's the thing, like we can talk about this because, like, you know, the Caps and the Rangers have faced each other so many times in the playoffs the last several years. You know, the Caps have faced the Bruins. We've never had that with the Bruins when we play them in the playoffs. They don't have that mentality. Like, Pittsburgh has this mentality, you know, of, you know, we can hurt these guys and get away with it. I mean, let's be honest, Evgeny Malkin's one of the king of slewfoots when it comes to
slewfoot. I mean, other than P.K. Subban.
Yeah, other than Subban. But Subban's not in the playoffs, so he's irrelevant in this conversation.
Right, absolutely.
You know, the Islanders are like Gary's Angels. You know, they don't get penalties called against them, although ironically on was it against you guys or was it against the Islanders? The Cavs got like 2 4-minute power plays. It was like weird. I think it was the Thursday night game against the Islanders.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. But yeah. But anyways, we'll get to Pittsburgh, New York in a bit. We're gonna go out west first. And we're going to
talk. Now the real season begins.
Yeah, now the real season begins. Get rid of all those peasant teams and, you know, like move on. But we're going to start with the Western Conference, beginning with the first place team of the Central Division and of the Western Conference, the Colorado Avalanche, taking on the second wild card team, the Nashville Predators. Their series will start on Tuesday, May 3rd, and play every other day on the odd numbered days, with their potential game 7 being on Sunday, May 15th. Should be noted that the majority of their games will be at 9:30 p.m. with the exception of game 3, which is on Saturday, May 7th, which is at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time. Obviously times for games 5 through 6 for every series that we're going to talk about do not have times, but given how it's Wednesday, Friday, those will probably be at 9:30, and the Sunday game could possibly be an afternoon game depending on how the TV schedule works. Thoughts on Colorado, Nashville?
Avalanche in 7.
Really?
Yeah. Avalanche in 7.
Why do you say Avalanche in 7?
The Nashville Predators are very heavily defensive team. But the issue is that the Avalanche, especially last year, going off the pattern, the Avalanche, when it comes to the playoffs, they're not quite San Jose level choke, but they're going to struggle, I think. Yeah, the Avalanche is one of the best teams, if not the best team in the NHL, in the regular season. But this is now the playoffs. It's a whole different ballgame. It's a whole different level. I say the Avalanche in 7 because I think the Avalanche is a better all-around team than the Predators. But the Predators are going to make them pay for it. They're going to make them pay for it every step of the way. It's going to be a struggle. I mean, I could be wrong. I would say I'd give it maybe a 55% chance of Avalanche in 7.
All right. Well, I'm actually going to go with Avalanche in 5, and here's the key reason why. UC Saros is most likely not going to play this series for the Nashville Predators due to a high ankle sprain.
Mm-hmm.
That right there is going to kill Nashville. So at the end of the day, honestly, you know, Nashville is a good team, but Colorado has just been hitting on all cylinders, and they were a team that was really trying to get Claude Giroux from Philadelphia before it became well known that he was going to go to Florida and only Florida.
Yeah.
But Colorado has been running on all cylinders. Also, this is a team where their trade deadline acquisitions have actually panned out very well for them, especially a guy like Arturi Lehkonen who they got from Montreal, and it was also a player that I really wish the Capitals had gone after because I like Arturi Lehkonen and his type of game. But no, I see Colorado in five. Biggest reason is actually going to be the goaltending. And it's because UC Soros is most likely not going to play this series for Nashville because of the injury that he suffered this past week. So if UC Soros finds a way to get healthy enough to play, yeah, I could see Nashville forcing seven. But without him, I don't realistically see it. And not only that, but like while guys like Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson, you know, have had resurgences this season, those are also guys who have never really performed well in the playoffs. So it's like you need your key players to perform in the playoffs. Yeah, you're going to get it from a Matthias Ekholm. Yeah, you're going to get it from a Roman Josi, you know, and a Philip Forsberg. But you're not going to get it from a Matt Duchene. You're not going to get it from a Ryan Johansson, you know. You need to get it from all your key parts. And I don't think they have the depth scoring like the way Colorado does.
So we both really agree Colorado wins, but you say in five, I say in seven, right? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. And then next up, we have Minnesota, the second place team in the Central Division, taking on third place Central Division team, St. Louis Blues. Their series will kickstart tomorrow, Monday, May 2nd in Minnesota. They are the same deal as the previous series where all their games will be at 9:30 p.m. with the exception of their game on Sunday, May 8th, which is at 4:30 p.m. Eastern. And if they do go to a game seven, their seventh game would be played on Saturday, May 14th. And it's safe to say that their games potentially on the next week, if they do games five and six, will be at 9:30 p.m. as well, with their Saturday game potentially also being an afternoon game, depending on the TV schedule. Your thoughts on St. Louis, Minnesota, who we actually had a little preview 2 weeks before the playoffs had started, was about to begin, honestly.
Won that.
Minnesota in overtime, and I believe the score was 6-5.
All right. I'm going to go with another seven game down to the wire. I say Blues, seven.
All right.
And it's going to be extremely close. I mean, like, we're talking about 51%, 49%.
Yeah. I also believe it will go seven. But I think, so like, here's the thing. I really, like, I actually did a bracket for Cool Hockey yesterday on Saturday. I joined in their little Cool Hockey Stanley Cup bracket. And I'll admit, this was probably the hardest first round matchup to figure out.
I had to think about this very, very hard, yeah, honestly.
And I think in my predictions that I put in was I think I put in Minnesota in seven.
I honestly, I'm not taking the Blues lightly.
No, I'm not taking the Blues lightly either. Like I said, this is probably the hardest series to the gauge. But the thing is, though, is that this season, Kirill Kaprizov has had another spectacular season for himself. And is going to get, and I believe this is the first time Minnesota is going to the playoffs with Kaprizov. If not, this is the second year, you know. So Kaprizov this season, I was looking at like some of the stat sheets when I work on the daily, and a lot of, and like he scored, I mean, I think he had like 48 goals or something like that this season, which is really good. But he had a decent number of goals in the clutch. And it's like,
who has more games at home in the series? Who has more games at home?
Minnesota will. Minnesota's the home. Minnesota has home ice because they're the second place team in the Central, and St. Louis is third place.
Well, that's going to be rough for them. That's definitely going to be rough.
I mean, one way or the other, this is probably the only series in the West, to be brutally honest here. It's probably the only series in the West that's actually going to be interesting.
Oh yeah. Watching that I will say this, the St. Louis Blues defense is utterly, utterly balls to the walls, bonkers, ridiculous. It's like watching a steel wall. It's like watching a steel wall. They you it is so hard to get anything past that defense.
Yeah.
And you've also got Tarasenko, who's been on fire.
Well, yeah, Tarasenko, you know, who is the third star of the month of April, you know, having a resurgence this season. And this was a guy who we thought that could have been picked up by Seattle in the expansion draft because he was exposed. We all thought he was going to get traded because it was made public that he wanted to be traded out of St. Louis. And literally look at where we are at, like 10 months later. You know, Tarasenko has had an amazing season this season for St. Louis. And now they're in the playoffs, so like he's definitely had a great season. But I mean, at the same time, we'll have to see. Again, this is a tough one, but I'm still going with Minnesota in 7, just because, you know, it's that much of a toss up in this one.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I can more than confidently say that it can go either way. I'm going to say I'm leaning more towards St. Louis because, well, frankly, I've seen that defense and I saw the defense in person.
Yeah. I went to the Caps Blues game.
I mean, I'm not entirely sure whether or not, I mean, Kaprizov has to have the game of, he has to be so on point. He cannot make a single mistake. The Wild cannot make a single mistake. The Blues will make them pay for it.
Just to throw this out there, like 2 weeks ago when the Wild and the Blues played against each other and the Wild won in overtime, if I remember right, St. Louis was winning that game 5-1. Just to throw that out there.
Yeah, it can happen.
So, I mean, yet again, in the playoffs, teams play a much tighter defense, but at the same time, you know, you have what it is. Moving into the Pacific Division, you have the Calgary Flames, who is first place in the Pacific Division, hosting the first wildcard team, Dallas Stars. This series will take place or will begin on Tuesday, May 3rd, and will, if there's a game 7, will end on Sunday, May 15th. One thing I really do like is all the teams that start tomorrow, they aren't doing this thing where it's like 2 days in between games and then they're like altering. So like the same 4 series that you're going to get on Monday is going to be consistent every other day. Same with the series that you're going to get on that start on Tuesday. That's going to be consistent every other day too, which is really nice. So, you know who's playing every day, which is really nice. And it's the first time in years that we've gotten to have a schedule this freaking simplicated. I'm not lying.
Simplicated.
It's okay. Simplified. But
okay.
Simplification of my life. Hey, it made creating the dailies for the first round a lot easier because I was able to just copy the dailies straight up after I created it one. So thank you, NHL. Thank you for making my life easy on the website end. You will find a way to screw me over anyways. But games 1 and 2 in Calgary will take place at 10 p.m. and the 2 games in Dallas will start at 9:30 p.m. So which gives you an idea that if the games in Calgary, it's a 10 p.m. game. If it's games in Dallas, it's a 9:30 game for potentially games 5 for 7 if they need 5 for 7. Ethan, what are your thoughts on this series between Dallas and Calgary?
You know what? I'd like you to go first on this one. I just want to hear what you say first.
I value
your opinion, my friend.
Thank you. I'm actually going Calgary. I say Calgary in 6. This after having a disappointing season the season before, which is where, you know, they got Daryl Sutter back as their coach mid-season last season. And then they, you could tell that the team did a massive resurgence, trading Sam Bennett away last year at the trade deadline to Florida. And then the questions of what would they do with Johnny Gaudreau, who's now in the last year of his contract. Matthew Tkachuk's had a great season. Johnny Gaudreau's had a great season. Both of them had 40 goals and 100 points. Elias Lindholm has had another great season for himself. Guys like Andrew Mangiapane have stepped up this season. They've had a great defense, and you cannot count against Jacob Markstrom, who has had a spectacular season this season. I think he's had around 9 or 10 shutouts this season. Really great goaltending that the Flames have there. And then Dallas, you know, they have Jake Oettinger as their number one goalie. I think Braden Holtby, I think he's still injured. So they have, I believe it's Scott Wedgwood as the backup goalie who they picked up at the trade deadline. Dallas isn't the same Dallas team that we saw, you know, 2 seasons ago when we were in the return to play bubble that they went to the Stanley Cup final with against Tampa Bay in 2020. Dallas just really, I don't think Dallas is really that much of a playoff team, to be honest. I really, my edge is to Calgary. I think Calgary is a lot hungrier than Dallas is, and they're much more talented than Dallas is. And I think Calgary is going to take it in 6.
I agree. Calgary in 6. I mean, the fact of the matter is that, I mean, I've heard hockey fans say it's going to be a who's who cares. But I mean, Calgary A is just hungrier. B, the stars are not the same. It doesn't seem like they had much. They just seem to be mostly coasting through most of the second half of the regular season, especially after the trade deadline. There's just not that much life there in Dallas to truly determine whether or not that they're going to make it past Calgary. And Calgary's just too good, way too good. There, I'm going to anger a lot of Oilers fans. They're the best team coming out of Alberta this year.
Yeah, but you know what? That's a great segue, because the last series in the West, and I will say this right now, I want me a second round Battle of Alberta. I'm going Edmonton, who is the second place team in the Pacific Division, who taking on the third place team in the Pacific Division, Los Angeles Kings. All of their games, which begin on Monday, May 2nd, will be at 10 p.m. Eastern time, a.k.a. the bane of all of our existences, because 10 p.m. those games don't end until around 10 or 12:30 in the morning, and God forbid if they go to overtime so much later. I'm actually picking Edmonton. I don't care how many games. I just want Battle of Alberta in the second round of the playoffs. Like, that's all I care about. So,
okay.
At least I'm honest.
You're honestly thinking with your heart. I'm not sure you're thinking with your head.
Actually,
I know you want it. I know you want it.
Like, I'll be brutally honest. Do I want Edmonton to win? Yeah. Do I think LA can beat them? Maybe.
Your answer is probably yes.
My answer is maybe, because the biggest flaw that Edmonton has is their defense. Their defense is just the worst. And the only way the only way that Edmonton really can go deep is if everyone buys in. And that includes guys like Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid and stuff like that. Because you're not going to be able to score your way through the playoffs.
That's true.
You need to play a full team game. And if you look in, like, the best example, hands down, the best example is 2018 with the Capitals. Guys like Ovechkin, guys like Kuznetsov, guys like Backstrom, they were all buying in into the system of, yeah, we need to score our goals, but we need to play a team defense in order to get further. It's what allowed them to beat Pittsburgh. It's what allowed them to beat Tampa Bay. And it's eventually what led them to beating Vegas to win the Stanley Cup. And yes, I'm kind of skipping away from Columbus because, well, let's be honest, it's Columbus. That's what Edmonton really has to do. But the thing is, though, is that how much gas does Jonathan Quick have left in his tank for the LA Kings for a playoff push? How really ready is the Kings' defense? How really good is the Kings' goal scoring ability, especially the fact that this is a team. Let's also be brutally honest. The Pacific Division is the weakest division in the league.
Yeah, it is.
Hands down. Yeah. It is also the only division to have only three teams in the playoffs. You only have Calgary, LA, and Edmonton, because the Central Division has Dallas, Nashville, Colorado, Minnesota, and St. Louis. Like, they have five teams. They took both wild card spots. So when you look at it from that perspective, realistically, your best two teams in the Pacific Division are Calgary and Edmonton. So, like,
I'm going to go with toss up. That's my opinion on this one. It's a toss up.
Yeah. I still think Edmonton, I still think we get our Battle of Alberta, because that's what everyone wants. And when I say everyone,
it is.
And when I say everyone, I say also me.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I'm going to go with, I mean, they still, the Kings still have that core from 2012, from 2014. Those two championship teams. I don't know how much gas they have left.
When you say core, you mean like Kopitar and Brown?
Yeah, pretty much. And Quick and Doughty.
Yeah, you got four guys.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I know. I'm just saying that it's just they have that core. I don't know how good they are still. They've been there for God knows how long. They haven't really done anything since they won in 2014. Yeah. And it's, to be honest with you, again, I do agree with you. I don't know how much that Jonathan Quick has left in the tank. Jonathan Quick can be fantastic. He has shown greatness, true greatness. But lately, I mean, the LA Kings just seem like they're sort of coasting. And, I mean, the Oilers, God, that combination of Dick David and Draisaitl is so sexy. It's so sexy. It's unbelievably sexy.
Yeah, but they have... Honestly,
but what else do they have, though?
Yeah, I mean, hands down.
Other than two players do not make a team. You have to fully buy in.
And let's be honest, outside of Darnell Nurse, their defense is not that good looking in Edmonton.
So that's why I'm saying it's a toss-up. Of course, I would love to see a Battle of Alberta in the playoffs, but we need to be realistic here. The LA Kings have more experience in the playoffs. Roughly.
No.
They have more players that have experience in the playoffs. More players that have experience in the playoffs.
Philip Deneau, yeah, because he was with Montreal last season to the cup final.
Kopitar, Brown, Doughty, Quick, they all have experience. Yeah. They've all won.
A guy like Quinton Byfield's a rookie, though.
Okay. But they have two.
If you actually would
have more players, they have more players that have experience in the playoffs Oilers do.
No. Actually, if you want to look, here, let me pull it up real quick. I think you're wrong on this one, because I think the Oilers have more players who have playoff experience than
I could be wrong. I mean, I'm not an Oiler expert, but I don't think they do.
Hold on, give me a second. I'm pulling up their rosters right now. Go away, ads. Roster. Where's your roster? Oh, there it is.
But my opinion is this is a toss-up.
So Victor Arvidsson has playoff experience, and this is the Kings, for the record.
Okay.
So Victor Arvidsson definitely has playoff experience, because he would play for Nashville.
Yeah.
Elias Andersson. I don't think ever played a playoff game with the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
Andreas Athanasiou, I don't think ever played a playoff game with the Red Wings.
Just list off those who played.
Dustin Brown definitely played. Philip Deneau definitely played in the playoffs. Alex Iafallo was part of the 14 team, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Adrian Kempe has playoff experience. Kopitar has playoff experience. Brendan Lemieux, I don't think does. Trevor Moore does, but that's because of other teams he's played on.
Well, yeah.
On defense, Drew Doughty, but he is, I believe, currently on injured reserve, so odds of him playing are slim to none. Okay. Alexander Edler has playoff experience. Ole Mata does. He actually has two cups with Pittsburgh. and then Troy Stetcher has playoff experience. And then you have Cal Peterson and Jonathan Quick, and Jonathan Quick has the playoff experience, but Peterson's been the guy that they've been riding all season in LA. Whereas for Edmonton, Archibald has playoff experience, Derek Brassard has playoff experience, Draisaitl has playoff experience, Warren Fogle has playoff experience, Zach Hyman's been to the playoffs several times. Evander Kane, I believe, was part of the Sharks team that went to the finals against Pittsburgh in 2016, I believe.
Well, they're the Sharks, that don't count.
And it still went to the finals.
Don't count.
Cassian's been to the playoffs several times. McDavid's been to the playoffs several times. Nugent Hopkins has been to the playoffs several times. Derek Ryan, Kyle Turris. Defense, Tyson Berry's been to the playoffs. Cody Ceci's been to the playoffs. Duncan Keefe has 3 Stanley Cups with Chicago. Brett Kulak was with Montreal last season when they went to the playoffs, or they went to the finals. Darnell Nurse and Chris Russell have playoff experience. Mike Smith has playoff experience, and Koskinen has playoff experience.
I guess
I mean well, the goaltending. Oilers have more experience.
Yeah,
true. Playoff wise than the Kings do.
Okay, I was drunk.
But both actually looking at it, goaltending is really going to decide the series. Because Smith, Koskinen, Peterson, Quick, you're looking at probably a very high scoring series just because of the goaltending.
Oh, that's going to be interesting.
So, but anyways, moving on to the East, we got the division champions of the Metro, Carolina Hurricanes, hosting the first wild card team, Boston Bruins.
This is going to be interesting.
Oh, it's going to be Carolina, hands down.
Unless, oh, it will be Carolina.
Unless Linus Ullmark becomes like super red hot and steals it, it's Carolina, hands down.
However, I'm going to say this. The Bruins are going to make them bleed for it. The Bruins are always the sheer toughness of the Bruins. That's their style of play.
I mean, yeah.
They will be metaphorically be Canes being carried out in stretchers.
No. That's...
I think.
No.
I think there will be injuries. I think there will be significant injuries.
Not even close. Like,
you really think so?
Yeah, it's not even close to that. Like, all first right. off, this isn't the same Boston Bruins team that won their cup in 2010. Like, they only have, like, one player from that team, and that's Patrice Bergeron.
Was Marchand part of that team?
Oh yeah, Marchand. Yes, yeah. So you got two guys from that team because Pastrnak didn't come until after.
Oh, I know.
You know, all the defensemen that they had from that cup run are gone. All of the, you know, the goaltenders, pretty much all the forwards. You know, the guys who won the cup is just Bergeron and Marchand. That's it.
Oh, I know that.
Their defense is not as punishing as it used to be, like, say, when they played against St. Louis in the Stanley Cup final in 2019. They don't have Chara anymore. They don't have, I think, Torey Krug left. You know, they don't have the same punishing defense that they've been known to have. You know, their offense isn't as punishing as it used to be. So to say, oh, there's going to be injuries. Nah, not really. Will it be
I think Carolina's going to limp out. I think they're going to limp out.
I don't think so. I think Carolina takes this one in 5 or 6.
Really?
This ain't going 7.
I don't say 7. I say 6, but I think Carolina's going to have a tough time of it. I'm going to be honest with you. I think the Bruins defense truly wakes up. I think they go tough. I think because don't forget, this is playoff hockey. This is different.
Yeah, so they have a guy.
They might find their stride.
Yeah, and they have a guy named Taylor Hall who does not show up in the playoffs, and yet they still spent the money on the guy. Sure. I mean, Nick Foligno is going to do all right, but he's just going to do all right. Marchand's going to do Marchand. Bergeron's going to do Bergeron. You know, that type of stuff. You know, what are you going to get out of a guy like Jake DeBrusk, who you know doesn't want to be in Boston, and he's just trying to be a good teammate? You know, nothing more, nothing less. So it's like, you know, Eric Halla, you know, has been good for the team this season, but he's not like a top six guy. So okay. It's like, you look at that Bruins roster, it's not as good as a lot of people think. It was good enough to get into the playoffs, but it's probably not good enough to get deep, let alone out of the first round.
No, I do not think they're getting out of the
first
round.
And they're not, and they don't play that punishing style anymore. They haven't been playing that punishing style for a while.
Okay. Fine.
So that, and like, let's be honest, Carolina.
I was hoping that they would.
Carolina.
Oh, Carolina's gonna make offensively gonna make mincemeat of them. But I mean, I was kind of hoping that there'd just be some punishment and that the Bruins are gonna, you know, at least make them pay for it. But
I mean, keep in mind.
Maybe I'm just hoping that happens. But Carolina's, I have no doubt Carolina's gonna win in less than seven. I have no doubt that Carolina's going to make utter fools out of them. But I'm just hoping that the Bruins get pissed off enough.
Yeah.
That they'll somehow, you know, awaken that spirit of, hey, we're Boston, we're not going to take this, you know, lying down.
Yeah, but it's Carolina 100% this series.
Oh yeah, no, I don't doubt that.
But anyways, their series kick starts on Monday, May 2nd, and I'm not going to say what the game seven is. We've already made it established. If you start on Monday, May 2nd, your potential game seven is May 14th. If you start on Tuesday, May 3rd, your potential game seven is May 15th. All their games are at 7 p.m. with the exception of their Sunday game four game, which is at 12:30 p.m. on ESPN. So anticipate all 7 p.m. games. That's the nice thing about the East. All games start at either 7 or 7:30. So it's really nice. Well,
because it's the East Coast.
Yeah, exactly. The Superior Coast. You find a way.
Okay, before people start murdering you, can we move on to the next series now, huh?
Yeah. So next up we have Tampa Bay, Toronto, who also starts on Monday, May 2nd. All of their games are at 7:30, with the exception of Sunday game four, which is at 7 p.m. Obviously, we won't know about games 5 through 7 unless they require them.
I have a feeling that you're going to have the same relative opinion of who's going to win this.
It's a toss up, but
you think so?
Oh yeah. Because I think it really depends on how hungry Toronto is really going to be. And I know with how the market is in Toronto, there's going to be a lot more pressure on them to perform this round. Especially now that they're not going up against the Boston Bruins for the first time in like who knows how long. They didn't go up against them last season either, but that was just because of the circumstances of the pandemic. But I think Toronto is looking at Tampa Bay and going, these are the two-time Stanley Cup champions. We need to take them out. Because if not, you know, there's going to be hell in the media,
yeah,
possibly hell in the front office. So I could see Toronto getting it if they're heavily motivated enough and they work their best. But it's also Tampa Bay at the same time. Tampa is one of those teams where they don't care where they place in the standings as long as they make the playoffs. That's what they're really built for.
Yeah.
And this time they're not $18 million over the cap.
I'm going to say I'm not as confident of toss up as I am more confident in Tampa in seven.
Yeah. Personally, I
of would, course. I, okay. No, go ahead.
Oh, what I was going to say is like, I love to see Toronto win, but realistically it's probably going to be Tampa.
Yeah. I mean, me too. I would love to see, I've honestly never seen Toronto get that far in. I've never seen Toronto in a finals, honestly. I mean, it happened. It happened. Toronto's notorious for it, but not lately. And frankly, I would love to see them that far. I mean, I would love to see them really, you know, go that far. But against the team that's built for the playoffs like Tampa, I think no matter how hungry Toronto is, they're going to make a show of it. They're going to make Tampa work for it. But ultimately, Tampa is just too built for the playoffs to allow for Toronto to beat them.
Yeah, and of course, Toronto is going to have home ice advantage as their second place in the Atlantic Division and Tampa's third place in the Atlantic Division. Moving on to our second to last series to look at, we have the second place Metropolitan Division Rangers taking on the number three Pittsburgh Penguins. Their series kickstarts on Tuesday. All of their games, straight up, even on the Saturday, are at 7 p.m. Eastern time. You probably have,
you have to go first.
Remember.
You have to go first.
Honestly, like, it's hilarious because, like, this, we talked about it earlier on the show this past week, you know, both Pittsburgh and the Caps were pretty much tanking this past week to not face the Rangers. And, you know, I alluded to it, Pittsburgh's a dirty team. They just are. You know, They're not like the Islanders were, like, well, the Islanders are a dirty team, but they have the referees on their side. And Pittsburgh, in a way, has that too. Because they're
not as much in the playoffs.
Especially in the playoffs. I still remember when Claude Giroux lit up Sidney Crosby, won the faceoff, clobbered him with a bone-crushing hit, took the puck, and then scored like 37 seconds into the game. That set the tone to that game, and I think it was an elimination game too for Pittsburgh. I see the Rangers. I mean, it's not even a question of it. We know for a fact Pittsburgh didn't want to face the Rangers in the first round. We know the Capitals didn't want to face the Rangers in the first round. The Rangers is a team that you would rather face in the second round or in the conference finals because they hopefully go through some battles that wear them down so you can potentially pounce on them. That's the reality of it. And you're going to get a fresh Rangers team going into the first round. Rangers are great. We talked about it several times. We're going to keep saying it all the time. Their trade deadline pickups made them more legitimate. The real question for the Rangers out of all of this is going to be Shesterkin. Is Igor Shesterkin really going to be able to carry the load in the playoffs? He was able to carry it for the most part in the regular season, but is he going to be able to do it in the playoffs? That's the key question that is going to be asked right now of this series. If Shesterkin lays an egg and you got to go to Georgiev and he doesn't play well either, Pittsburgh can then steal this series. But overall, it's going to be the Rangers. And I'm probably going to say the Rangers in five.
Okay. Wow. My heart wants to say Rangers in five. My gut says Rangers in five or six. My head says Rangers in six, but my, like, feet say Rangers in seven. I'm definitely afraid of this matchup because out of all the teams the Rangers did not want to play, honestly, in the playoffs, in the first round, other than the Hurricanes, it was the Penguins. I think that above all else, the Rangers want to play the Panthers, oddly enough. I think the Rangers are just a better team than the Panthers.
The Rangers were never going to happen.
Yeah,
it was never going to happen. Like, the only teams that were going to have that conversation were the Caps and the Penguins, and that was just because.
Yeah, I know. And I think the Rangers definitely wanted to play against the Caps. They did not want to play against the Penguins because here's the thing, when the Caps do play the Rangers in the playoffs. It's often in seven. It's often the Caps take so much energy out of the Rangers that they usually lose the next round.
Which is why you don't want to face the Capitals.
That's true. although your goaltending is shaky. Your goaltending is very shaky. So that's a plus for the Rangers. Okay. Pittsburgh's dirty. Very dirty. The Rangers are healthy. Everyone except for Mott, I think.
Yeah, Mott, I think I don't healthy. Think gonna, I don't think you're gonna see Mott at all in the playoffs. Just
no,
because of the injury that he has.
But the Rangers are healthy. We have and your concerns about Shesterkin. Shesterkin does not have the playoff experience. True. But when Shesterkin was playing more than Georgiev, he was lighting it up. He was the best goalie in the NHL. When they started putting Georgiev Moore in, I know you're not. When Georgiev was put in more often towards the end of the season, Shesterkin started slipping a bit. Now, here's the benefit about playoff hockey is that you don't have to switch goalies. You don't have to give time to the other goalie. So it's all going to be primarily Shesterkin. And when Shesterkin is very much like Henrik Lundqvist. When the chips are down, when everything's down, Lundqvist lit it up. Shesterkin will light it up. I have faith that the Shesterkin that's going to come into the playoff run is a Shesterkin that was in the running for MVP. He's had some slippage, but I think this is going to be the Shesterkin that we have seen for the majority of the season, other than until after the trade deadline where they started really playing Georgiev a little bit more. My only hope is that nothing happens to him, and that if Shesterkin is kept in more often, I've seen the Rangers play playoff hockey. They played playoff hockey when they faced off against the Tampa Bay Lightning. They played differently. They played differently than a lot of the times during this season. And they easily meshed into that playoff mindset. And it was low scoring when they played against the Lightning earlier this season, earlier this past, I believe it was in March. They were tight. They were very low. So it was a very low scoring game. It was very low scoring. But they played it almost flawlessly. And I definitely see, I can see them taking it in five. I can see them taking it in six. The Rangers have made a fool out of Jari numerous times. The Rangers have made fools out of the Penguins in the playoffs numerous times. And the Rangers have pound for pound, when it came to the playoffs, they can play dirty. They can play very dirty, especially with, and I can tell you something, if Gallant starts seeing dirty play, all he has to do is just send in Ryan Reeves. And that's just to punish them. And Ryan Reeves, he's not exactly he's not the best player on the ice, and you love to make fun of him for it. But Ryan Reeves is the best punisher on the ice.
It's just pointing out a fact.
No, okay. Okay, I mean, you do quote unquote point out fact, but overall, oh dear God. Overall, I can tell you this.
I should note we should
all
note,
he has to do is
again,
just send out
we
Ryan
said this at the be- hold on. We said this at the beginning of the episode. Ethan is at Castle Point Anime Convention. So the background noise that you hear are the attendees walking around. So you're also probably seeing cosplayers walk by you at the same time.
No, I just saw Jared.
Oh, you just saw Jared?
Yeah, he's out. He's outside getting his getting in. He's about to get in. So, and I know you. I know you way too well.
So, but anyways, finish up real quick so we can get to the Caps and then do wrap up.
Yeah, I mean, I foresee Shesterkin playing very well. I foresee the Penguins being punished by Reeves if they start, especially Malkin has a target on his back if he starts doing sleeper. Let me just say that. Reeves is going to be used against him if that happens.
Oh, yeah. And then our last series, the President's Trophy winning Florida Panthers. That's a weird thing to say right there. take on the second wild card team, the Washington Capitals. Florida's actually an interesting case because with the Panthers, you know, they started the season with Joel Quenneville as their coach. Obviously, the report about Kyle Beach came out in the Chicago Blackhawks from 2010, and it caused Quenneville to step down, and Andrew Brunet took over as head coach. And but like the way this team was built, it wasn't a surprise that this team was good, especially like the coaching really didn't change either. So this series starts on May 3rd. First two games are at 7:30 p.m. Game 3 is at 1 p.m. and then game 4 is at 7 p.m. Ironically, game four is actually when I'm in class. So I'm not going to be able to see game four. And it's my final exam for that day too. Yes, Ethan's doing the teardrop motion for me. Ethan, I'll let you start on this one because after you do that, I'm going to give my thoughts and then do the wrap up.
Oh, wow. This is a hard one. I'm not going to lie to you. As much as I would love to see your misery. No, I still love to see your misery. I'm going to say Panthers in six. Your goaltending's too shaky. Your goaltending's way too shaky. Samsonov is just, I mean, literally, when you played against the Rangers, just this past last game, Samsonov looked so lost. He did not look good at all. I mean, Vanecek is better. You definitely, hands down, better. And I'm not going to say that, and I'm thinking with my head here, as much as I want to see the Panthers utterly destroy you in five, it's not going to happen. But I don't see a seventh game. I mean, Ovi's just coming off of an injury. Your team is good. It's very good. But the goaltending is going to be a really big issue against a Florida Panthers team that just they allowed Frank Vatrano to leave and go to the Rangers. That they were able to trade back Frank Vatrano, who's been a godsend to the Rangers.
Yeah,
they're confident enough to let that caliber of player be traded tells you something about the Florida Panthers that either A, their GM is an idiot, or B, they not only think that they can win this without Vatrano, but they also snatch Claude Giroux.
It's called clearing cap space for Claude Giroux. That's what it was.
That's true too. Yeah, you know, but
it wasn't that they didn't believe in the player. They had to give up some salary space.
I know. But you could have gotten rid of some lower back six players if you wanted to.
I mean, they did. It's called Owen Tippett to the cap. But you got to keep in mind when you look at guys' salaries and stuff like that, you know, Tippett's salary was like minimal compared to Vatrano.
Yeah.
You had to give up a decent number in a salary cap spot to bring in a guy like Claude Giroux. You know, you just had to.
I'm going to say this again. The Panthers are just so on fire. And your goaltending is so inconsistent, and the trade deadline. I mean, you got one player back.
Yeah, we got Marcus Johansson. We got Johan.
You got Marcus Johansson and Larson back. But the fact of the matter is, your Ovi's injured, and that was your best.
I think Ovi's fine at this point now because
he's probably fine, but he's still coming off of that, so that can affect his play.
But the thing is, though, is that going into the practices, like he was doing the practices in both Long Island and in New York. Perfect.
Oh no, I have no doubt about that.
They actually said that, like, if the playoffs had started on Friday, he would have played.
Well, yeah, but how well would he have played? That's the problem.
Like, so, like, him being out due to injury for Thursday and Friday, I don't buy it. I think they're like, you got your 50 goals. You know,
they wanted him to sit out.
Let's just sit you out and have you well rested come the start of the playoffs on Tuesday. I think that was the ultimate thinking on Ovi.
I think, oddly enough, and I'm going to be probably reamed for saying this, you have a wild card on that team, on your Capitals team that could change it up. That wild card is Tom Wilson. The wild card is Tom Wilson.
Look,
for an enforcer, Tom Wilson scores quite a bit. Tom
Wilson is not an enforcer, though. He's a power forward. There's a massive difference. See, Ryan Reeves is an enforcer. He's an
enforcer, yeah.
Tom Wilson is a power forward.
But he plays like an enforcer.
I mean, he really doesn't, though, anymore. Like, here's the thing. You have to – if you actually watched – the Capitals play on a nightly basis, like the way I do, you see how he really plays. Like, I'm sorry, but when everyone comes out and is like, oh yeah, you know, Tom Wilson's a goon and all this other stuff, let me throw this out.
I said he was a goon.
Well, I mean, you're not saying he's a goon, but a lot of other people on other team fan bases do. Let me put this in perspective for you. Wilson has only missed 4 games this season. He played 78 games. In 78 games, he set career highs in goals and points. He had 24 goals, 28 assists for 52 points, and was a plus 13. I'm sorry?
Yeah.
That's really damn good.
No, I'm saying Tom Wilson will make or break this series for you.
I mean, Tom Wilson has the ability to really propel the team. I mean, he 100% does. So I'm trying to look something up real quick.
But my prediction is Florida in 6.
I am going Caps in 6. Oh, and for the record, because everyone wants to tout how great Ryan Reaves is, 69 games played, 5 goals, 8 assists, 13
points. I never said he was that good. I said he was efficient at what he does.
Yeah. See, that's
enforcer. He's not a scorer.
But here's the thing. That's enforcer numbers. That's the point I was trying to put out there.
Yeah.
Whereas Wilson has power forward numbers when it comes to stats. That's the point I was trying to put out there. But anyways, I'm saying Caps in 6. Key thing is I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you on the Caps goaltending situation. I mean, Vanecek is my clear number one. The Capitals actually just called up Zach Fucali today. So I know the Capitals fan base is automatically going, play Fucali, who only played 3 games for us this season and had a shutout in his first game and then lost his second game and then lost in overtime his 3rd game. So
he's your Nico Dowd, basically.
Like, calm down. He's your
Nico Dawes.
I mean, Fucali, I mean, he could use the season. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they actually bet if they scratch Samsonov and have Fucali as the backup to Vanecek.
Okay.
And do you know why I wouldn't be surprised by that move? I wouldn't start
for him. Playoff experience.
Well, no. It has nothing to do with that. Actually, Fucali has no playoff experience because technically this season would have been.
It'll get him playoff experience.
Or, yeah. I mean, yeah, sitting on a bench. But, but sure. No. The real reason I would do that is to send a message. You know, you scratch Samsonov, you start Vanecek, but you have your backup goalie be Fucali. Because that sends a message to Samsonov of, hey, you got to get your act together, get your attitude in check, get your game on track. And then it's also a message to Vanecek going like, hey, we know the fans want Fucali playing. Don't screw this up or we're going to put Fucali in.
Mm.
It's that's how I read that move of calling up Fucali, especially if they scratch Samsonov and start Vanecek with Fucali as the backup goaltender. So like it's a way of sending a message. It's just like in 2018, you know, Holtby was struggling down the stretch and they actually benched him going into the playoffs. The first 2 games, people forget, Philip Grubauer started those 2 games for the Capitals.
He did
against Columbus. Yeah, he did. And that's the thing. It was a message to Holtby to get your head back into the game. And Holtby, when he came in for game 3, had his head back in the game and the rest was history. You know, and it's stuff like that that you have to do to get a message to your team. Outside that, I'm not worried about the Caps. I think the Capitals, you know, when they play their game, which I think they will when they go up against Florida, are going to hold up very fine against the Panthers. I mean, the Capitals were 1-1-1 against the Panthers this season. So pretty even. I was actually at the lone win because I was at home. But I think the Caps in 6, I think, and this is kind of like the whole President's Trophy curse thing, because I've seen it happen to the Capitals several times. Yeah, you blew your load, you know, winning that President's Trophy. How much you really got left in the tank going into the playoffs?
I don't know, man.
But also, here's the other factor that a lot of people need to remember. Bobrovsky is very shaky in the playoffs. And Spencer Knight does not have playoff experience. He may have a game, but he does not have true playoff experience.
True.
And that is a factor right there, especially if they go with Bobrovsky. If they go with Bobrovsky, the Capitals know what to do against Bobrovsky, because Bobrovsky was the goaltender for the Columbus Blue Jackets in 2018 when the Caps went on their cup run.
Right.
And old habits don't die. But yeah, overall, I think Caps in six. I think this is a matchup that's also more geared to the Capitals favorably compared to, you know, to the Panthers' end. And that's just also because of playoff experience alone.
Well, we'll see.
Yep. I mean, we'll see. Only time will tell. But with that, we're going to do wrap up. Obviously, we never share Ethan's social media. I'll save that for when I put it up on Twitter.
How dare you?
I know. I love you too. But you can follow
Gary keeps on lambasting me for not saying, for saying, oh, you should be putting everything up on Twitter. Or, no.
I actually don't give you crap for it at all.
No, you don't give me crap. And I love that.
Like, I actually hilariously get crap for never promoting Spotify and Google Podcasts for the other podcasts that I do, because I don't care about Spotify or Google Podcasts. I don't
just like I don't care about Twitter.
Yeah. So, but on Twitter, you can follow me at @TheLindemann75 and the show at TXHT_hockey. And then you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/TXHT hockey. It's all the articles that come up and maybe occasional musings from now and then. And then you can follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/TheMichaelX75. Hopefully now that the schedule is going to get a little bit easier on things, I will be able to do a little bit more Twitch streaming here and there. And then everything's on the website, txhdhockey.com. And as always, we are an affiliate of Cool Hockey. Click the link below the audio and go get your favorite team and player jersey. Ethan is actually wearing his jersey from Cool Hockey right now, which he wore to the game that him and I went together, which I was also wearing one of my Cool Hockey jerseys as well for that one. Cool Hockey. And then remember, by clicking on the link and then doing a purchase, we actually will get a minor portion of that, and it will help us do what we do here to continue to provide you with this entertaining content. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the playoffs start tomorrow. Ethan is looking at me very weirdly through his iPhone, and he's also wearing a mask because I think it's actually required for the venue he's at, which he's nodding his head yes. So with that, when we come back to you next Sunday, we'll have playoff series to talk about, see how the first three, maybe even four games have gone in the series for all eight series. Ethan, cut it out. You're being a doofus. and then, but yeah. And then who knows? Maybe Ethan might get to go to a game. Maybe I might get to go to a game. So who knows? So with that, ladies and gentlemen, until next time, we will see you on the ice next time.